It was originally vinyl, and then it went to reel to reel, and then to vinyl again. No, eight tracks.
And then cassettes.
The cassettes.
Then movies.
Then DVDs.
Right.
And then bankruptcy.
Right. Several times. So why don't you tell the people who may be younger than us what the model was and how it worked if you wanted to become a member of Columbia House?
So there was a couple of different things that I remember. So it was in either the back of your old TV guide.
Yep.
So it was a small little book and it had all the channels and all the different things in it. And it's funny. So if you can find an old TV guide or go on YouTube and look TV guides up, it's kind of, it's interesting. I know everything's digital now, but there was a physical book and you would buy it at the grocery store or whatever. You would get a TV guide.
There was also one free in the Toronto Star.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And there was also, you would get the Columbia House advertisements in Reader's Digest.
Yes.
If you remember Reader's Digest.
Yeah, you would. It was usually in the center so you could pull it out.
That's correct.
So by the staples, so you could pull it right out. And it was, it folded, it opened up and it, you had to pull little stickies off, almost like stamps.
Basically like the McDonald's game pieces now.
Yeah.
You know how you get the Monopoly board game pieces on your McDonald's? Not that we eat McDonald's. Yes, we do. But those things, it's basically those ideas. And it was kind of like a game board, but it was a pick your music board.
Yeah. And you would pick, I think it at one point, I remember it was something like 11 cassettes or 7 CDs. Or back in the day, I remember it being albums. I never got Columbia House 8-tracks. I did collect and still collect 8-tracks when I can find them. But I never got them that way. And I never had a reel-to-reel player. But I do have, like we've said before, I've got 8-track players. I've got 2 of them. I've got a bunch of turntables. And I do have cassettes. And I did get cassettes on Columbia House. And I definitely got CDs. And you would pick them and you paid a penny up front. And then after that, and you had to put the physical penny in the
envelope. You did. You had to tape a penny
into an envelope
and mail it, which a couple of those things are obsolete, including pennies.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of funny. So you had to mail your penny along with your selections. And then about 4 to 6 weeks later in this nondescript large cardboard box, I remember the mailman bringing it up because it was pretty big. It was pretty chunky and you had to sign for it and you got your, you opened it up and you got your CDs or your cassettes and it was pretty cool. You got all these different things that you wanted and then you
Hold on. I think the key thing you missed was it was something like 10 albums or cassettes for a penny.
Yeah.
So you had to pick your 10.
Yeah.
And then the deal was it was a penny for the first 10 and then you had to sign up for a subscription to buy a number more. So let's call it 6 more for discussion purposes. And they were at full price and then some.
Yeah, they were overpriced. They were.
That was the model.
Yeah. They were overpriced for sure. And you had to pay shipping as well. So that's where they really got you was the shipping. And what I found out or what we were looking at was the interesting model is Columbia House was, they didn't actually have the licensing rights for this music, which is interesting. They didn't pay any royalties to the artists. And the reason they didn't is they were calling it promotional material.
Right.
So it was free
material.
Well, they
said they gave it away free, those first 10 albums, and basically over a penny, that is free.
Yeah.
So they were saying it was promo stuff. So brilliant.
Yeah.
Probably not right, but brilliant.
Yeah. There was a whole discussion about, was it ethical? Probably not. Was it illegal? No.
No?
No. And it did get litigated at one point, and they lost.
Oh, it looks like they went through a lot of iterations of litigation.
Yeah. So the funny thing about it was... or with that is when you had to give a credit card or some type of bank information, I remember, and then they started billing you.
Yes.
No, that's what it was. You didn't give banking information. You got a bill in the mail and then you got phone calls.
Well, it was the first iteration of a negative option billing. And basically what negative option billing is, you have implied consent to join up for something and they will in perpetuity, assume your consent until you expressly tell them no and stop. So even though you don't really opt in, you have to opt out. And that was the first iteration of negative option billing. They were one of the first cases and people who were fined for that. But I do believe you had to submit some banking information, which is how they would just take your money, whether you paid or not. But like you've explained, and many of the people you know, you registered as T. Doherty or Terry Doherty or Terrence Doherty or your sister's name or your dog's name.
Well, I didn't do that. And let's be clear. I didn't own a dog. but no, I did buy them originally when I was younger.
They said straight up in all the research that they had a huge problem in that, particularly like the teenagers of the time got smart and realized, you can't find me if I don't give you my proper name, if I don't give you a phone number or contact information. And we certainly weren't savvy in terms of collections activities back then. This started in the 50s.
Yeah.
And the big perk of it was, when I was doing the research, was that it gave people access to music that they wouldn't have access to. Because today, we can all access any song that we want at the tip of our fingers. I can pull up anything right now that I wanted to hear. And obviously, it wasn't that way in the past. Radio waves weren't that far advanced, and record production wasn't that far advanced. A lot of people live far away from record stores. And so if you lived in small town USA or small town Canada, the only way you could get the latest music was to sign up for the record club and then hope they didn't find you when it came billing time.
Yeah, it's funny. So it literally... They did Blu-ray and Laserdisc, so the big Laserdiscs, which were albums as well.
Well, the thing that they did do was continue to evolve with technology to try and stay relevant. So they did start out as 8-tracks and 45s and LPs, and then they tried to do cassettes and whatever you said came after that, and they tried CDs, to do movies and everything. So they tried their darndest, because we said they started in the 50s. And didn't they eventually close up shop completely in the 90s? I know it's farther along in your notes.
No, I think their doors shut in 2009 or 2010. We'll get into that, but let's play one of the songs from one of their artists. So they have a multitude of artists. So if even you just go and you Google Columbia House artists, it is a massive, because Columbia House is part of the Sony group as well, right? So
now.
And we'll go through like who bought them and how they changed, and it just kept growing and growing. But we're going to talk, we're going to do a little Garth Brooks to start things off. Okay,
can I tell my fun fact about Garth Brooks?
Yeah, so this Garth Brooks thing, here we go.
My fun fact for anyone, and I think we'll do this at trivia tomorrow night. The fun fact about Garth Brooks is that he is actually bigger than Elvis. So
how is he bigger than Elvis?
Well, by record sales.
All right.
So Elvis sold 139 million units of music, and Garth Brooks has sold 157 million units of music. Now, that's amazing, because if you walk into any room and you say Elvis, people know the name. You may not walk into some rooms and people recognize the name Garth Brooks, but most people would know it. You start singing Friends in Low Places, and people definitely are going to know that. However, I like data and I like numbers and I like to think about things. And I think it may not be fair, because Garth Brooks has lived longer than Elvis did. So you can continue to produce music if you're alive.
Yeah. And I think that's one fair, but there's also streaming. So does this include streaming?
I did not dig that deep into the data. I just pulled the surface level numbers, but they do need to be analyzed a little bit deeper. And my first challenge on it, my first thesis is, the longer you live, the more opportunities you have to produce music. With all due respect to King Garth, because I'm a better Garth fan than I am an Elvis fan.
Sure.
We were just talking about going to see him.
Yeah, he's actually got a stint in Vegas right now at Caesar's
Palace. Yes.
From the 26th of September till the 26th of October.
But not the weekend we want to go.
No.
But that's a sidebar.
Yeah. All right. So here's a little Garth Brooks. This is live. And it is The Beaches of Cheyenne.
Oh, I wanted to tell my story about why this song matters. But
okay. Well, do you want to tell it now or when we get back?
No, let's listen to the song and then I'll tell you how it relates to our life.
Okay. Here's a little...
up on his buckles and shipped a saddle to his dares. By the way the house looked, she must have took it back. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the wall. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. Well, he was up in Wyoming and drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out. Well, it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand, dying right there beside him in the Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they play. You can go down by the water and see her footprints. Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. They never found her body, just her diary by the bed. That talked about the fine day and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne. Just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they play. That if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Say she's still alive. They've even claimed they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. If you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
It is a good one. I wanted to share why it hits home for me because, as we've shared, our son used to professionally race motocross, which is an extremely dangerous sport. And in my mind, bull riding is as close to motocross as you get. So this song is obviously about the pain of loss of someone being hurt, and in this particular case, killed in the bull riding. And as a very worried mother, this one used to always bring me to tears when I was worried about our son, who thankfully, I will share with everyone, walked away relatively unscathed from that sport. However, it is one that always strikes a chord for me. So I do like to listen to that one and be very grateful that he did walk away safe and sound.
Yeah. So I'm just going to pivot. It's a lot of pivoting here. I'm just going to get away from that because it's a contentious issue in our house. What's interesting about this the whole Columbia House thing is when I was doing my research last week for KTEL, I actually came across that Columbia House / CBS Records actually approached KTEL in the early 80s. Like I think it was like 1980 or 1981 which coincidentally, just before they went bankrupt, asking them how they were doing so well and what they were doing. And this was basically just in the record division of KTEL, because KTEL, like we know, had all those compilations and made millions and millions of dollars in the 70s doing the compilations. It wasn't until they pivoted and started doing those crazy snow blocks and all those other things that kind of sucked up money.
Right. And as seen on TV.
But as far as the record stuff, I think KTEL still, in my opinion, was a better money maker overall. Now, interestingly enough, like when you look at this, BMG, Direct Marketing, which was formerly known as RCA Music Group, they actually purchased Columbia House. And then in 2008, and they did it in 2005, my apologies, but in 2008, then they brought in another company. I'd never even heard of this, so this was interesting. A company called Bookspan. They were a book club operator. It seems to be a lot of club stuff. So they must have been doing this get up 10 books for a penny, and then you get all your other books.
Membership model business has been around for a very long time.
Yeah,
and it's a very successful business model.
Yeah, and then for whatever reason, the company gets acquired again. By another company, and changes. It was a private investment group. I guess they saw the whole kind of model of how they were doing so well as far as that was going. I don't think they realized that digital music was going to crush everything.
Yeah, decimated them all.
Yeah. I mean, Blockbuster. There's a perfect example of a dinosaur that just didn't pivot.
We should do an episode on that one day.
On Blockbuster. We could do movie music.
I think it's on the list.
Okay. So anyway, this company gets changed then to Direct Brands. And though like Direct Brands actually shuts down the mail order division in 2009, it actually continues to use the music or the Columbia Music House brand to market videos to the US and Canada, selling DVDs and Blu-rays. And again, they use it with that negative option billing. And they actually say in the kind of the whole report that it was all done through this negative option billing at that point. It became a really big problem. and then shortly thereafter that, so in December 2010, they cease operations. So Direct Brand Markets, they cease operations December 10th, 2010, and fire all of their staff.
Oh.
Yeah. So which is crazy. That was just in Canada. And then they continue to operations in the U.S. till December. It seems to be a December thing for this company. December 2012, the company is sold again to another company called Pride Tree Holdings. And then it changes its names to Filmed Entertainment. I guess they're just pivoting, doing the whole movie piece at this time because there's no more kind of CD sales or any of that. That's kind of gone. And then they file for bankruptcy in August 2015. So it goes up, kind of goes across.
So merges. Was that from like 55 to 2015?
Yeah.
That's a lot of years.
It is. It's 55 years?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a long time.
A long time to be in some iteration of business.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's pretty neat. I mean, I think the Columbia House thing was the big thing for rural consumers. That was really, like you said earlier, that was the catch, the rural consumers that just, they got to pick stuff that they couldn't get otherwise.
Right.
Too far out of town, don't have a record store that carries all that material. So this allowed them to, for a penny, get all this other stuff and then get billed ridiculous amounts of money. So yeah, it was pretty neat. What is really interesting that I found interesting is there was a time period where I think it was it's going to take me a second here to find it. But there was a point where they actually had 15% of market share for all DVD or CD sales in the US. That's a lot.
That is
a crazy amount.
Well, when you look at the amount of money they were losing to people who were basically scamming them, and we were just listening to something that had a couple of cases where one gentleman admitted that he defrauded them for something like 135 $1,000 worth of CDs, but he was selling them at flea markets.
Yeah, he actually admitted. So this is a case in the U.S. I think it was New Jersey, where the guy admits to scheming so much that he got 22,000 pieces of music, so 22,000 CDs for a penny.
Right.
He was able to scheme them that much.
And he had got something like 25 P.O. boxes.
Yeah. He just set up all these different, like, I mean, if he just used his skills for good,
right,
the world would be a better place.
Oh, absolutely. It really would.
Yeah. And he would sell them at flea markets on the weekends. He had like a really good flea market business, but he went to jail. In the U.S., they take this seriously.
Right.
So,
well, it's mail fraud or...
Yeah.
Some kind of scheme or something that there is definitely a fine and definitely, I guess, prison time in the U.S. But there were people who were openly doing this. We saw something on like 60 Minutes or 2020 one time, same kind of idea, but it was somebody who was like ripping off the McDonald's lottery or the Monopoly game or something like that.
Yeah, so employees.
We'll have to go back and talk about that one day, but I'll always remember that too because it was weird. And like you, I think, you know, if you have that kind of brilliance, put it to good. Or apply it to your job or your career, whatever it is you do, to make more legit money than how to rip off McDonald's.
So I have an interesting fact. And 1955 was when this all started for Columbia House. And by the end of the first year, they had 125,175 members by year one.
125,000, you said?
Yeah, 125,175 members on the books. How many CD or how many records do you think they sold that year to those members?
No, probably 10 times that.
700,000.
That's a lot.
Which correlated to 174 million dollars net.
In 1955.
1955.
That was a ton of money.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That is a ton of money in 1955. Why don't we play another one of their artists? We've been chatting for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one we're going to play is the Eagles. And...
Anticipate. herself a strong one and stares at the stars up in the sky. Another night, it's gonna be a long one. She draws a shade and hangs her head to cry. She wonders how it ever got this crazy. She thinks about a boy she knew in school. Did she get tired or did she just get lazy? She's so far gone, she feels just like a fool. My, oh my, you sure know how to arrange things. You set it up so well, so carefully. Ain't it funny how your new life didn't change things? You're still the same old girl you used to be. You can't.
Swing, swang, swung. It's 2 hours of jazz, jump, bop, blues, fusion, funk. I'll play it all as long as it swings. So check us out every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Jazz is an American classic, and therefore we present it as such, without tricks and without nonsense and without funny hats and funny hair.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Rich from Watertown. He called again today and said he's enjoying the show. So, Rich, thanks for calling in. I'm glad someone's listening. At least I know one person's listening today. So, I know your mom normally listens, but she's out of town.
She might not be listening today. So, we're down one.
Yeah, we're down. We're now, we just have one. another interesting fact that I found out about Columbia House, and I'll put this pen down because I'm always clicking it, was in 1956, they moved from New York City, where they kind of were housed to begin with, and they moved to Terre Haute, Indiana,
okay,
which turns out to be a railway kind of town. And they moved there in 1956, and they open up the record pressing facility. So they're actually pressing their own records at this point. And by the end of that year, they go from originally, when I told you, at the end of the first year, they had 125,175 members. At this time, at the end of, 56, they have 687,552 members, and they sold 7 million records. They went from 700,000 to 7 million.
That's an amazing growth trajectory.
Yeah. 14.888 million net.
That's crazy.
And they commanded 10% of the record retail market, recorded retail market. What also was really interesting about the whole thing was when I was looking at this, I realized that originally in 55, 56, and in the early years, RCA only... Columbia House, when they were doing it, only put Columbia House artists. So they only had Columbia Music artists on their label. And then they decided at some point, this isn't, we're not going to keep growing if we only have these artists.
Right.
So they start licensing music or getting licenses for music from other labels. And what was interesting about it when I was looking it up is they actually sent checks to companies to get the licensing rights, but they were underpaying. And what happened is because the companies or the distributors cashed the checks, it was implied consent that they had full licensing rights on the music.
These people were way ahead of their time.
They really were. And I mean,
do we know who the originator was?
I don't. I wish I did.
We had lots of information about Mr. Keitel last week.
Yeah, well, he was personal, right? Like this was, I think this is a, you know, Columbia Records is a big company.
So it was a division or a department, and some vice president of marketing was really smart.
Yeah. So, you know, in the 50s, you also had RCA Victor and Capitol Records. They also launched a record club, you know, initially, but they stuck to their keeping their own artists on the labels. And that became pretty problematic for them. And it wasn't until RCA eventually buys Columbia House, which, you know, I guess they hung around long enough, but they end up buying Columbia House and taking them over in the 80s. But it's a really interesting model that these guys have. And the weird thing is they changed as they changed kind of their model. So when they went from records, they were the Columbia House Record Club. And then when they went reel to reel, it was the Columbia House Reel to Reel Club. And then when they went to 8-track, they were the Columbia House Cartridge Club. And then when they went to cassettes, they were, guess what? Columbia House Cassette Club. So it's really funny. Like, and they just keep changing it as they go along. And then at some point they just literally, just become Columbia House.
Right.
Right.
Where my mind goes is I bet you that those were different entities and they closed some and renamed them for tax purposes.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I'm sure there was some strategy in there. These guys sound like they were really smart. So sometimes there is some value to closing down a business and restarting another one to reset the clock on some tax rules. And I bet these guys knew that.
Do you know what was really smart, I think, for them? Was after kind of, so it, when we, I was doing the research or you were doing the research, like we were doing it together, I found really interesting was that when they, when vinyl stopped being a thing in the kind of, I think it was like, so what was it? It was, oh, reel to reel stopped being a thing mid 70s.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
It was a thing. Reel to reel was a thing.
Okay.
Right? Columbia House continued to sell on their club reel-to-reel until 84. And when 8-track tapes had disappeared by 82, they continued to give new titles on 8-track to 88.
Well, it was brilliant because I asked you why, and you had a really smart answer that I don't know if you thought of it or you read it, but if you think about a lot of people with really old cars or classic cars and things like that, because you see some beautiful ones around for the classic car clubs with the 50s and 60s, they may very well have 8-track players in and they maybe want to play modern music.
Well, it keeps the, you know, the nostalgia, not just the nostalgia of the car, to keep it original makes it worth more as well, right? So the fact that it has an 8-track player in it and it's a working 8-track player. Other interesting fact, they actually got into the selling of the of these 8-track players, reel-to-reel players. So you could actually buy the product from them as well.
They probably wanted to keep them relevant.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is you didn't actually, you could buy it right from Columbia House. So
of course you could.
Yeah, so it's really, really interesting. It's kind of like that, the album selector from KTEL.
I was literally just thinking about that. By the way, that was one of our most popular Facebook posts ever. People are really into some of this vintage stuff. So when we post silly things like that, it's really popular. We had tons of comments and everybody loved that photo of you with the old albums. So if you didn't, go back and take a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope, I would love to be able to find a record selector. I'm going to go looking for one because I really want to get one and then maybe we can just give it away one day on the show because I think it's really funny. So
there's probably one in our garage.
There might be. I'll finish my thought on this. So basically vinyl LPs kind of got abandoned. They say by 89, that hurts my heart because I was still buying albums well into the mid 90s at records.
Still buying albums last year.
I know. And yeah, this year. But they're, most of them are repressings or used or whatever because it's hard to get some really good stuff. So anyway, they stopped doing it for the majority, regular pressings in 89.
Okay.
Yeah. These guys, Columbia House, keep selling them till 92.
Good in for their them. Thing.
So really
they're
smart
squeezing
for them.
Every bit out of it.
They were literally squeezed every penny out of it. So it's cool. What do we got up next? You picked.
I picked the music this week.
You did. And I'm really happy. So we're going to do a little bit of Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, we were trying to give just a flavor of all the diverse music that was available on Columbia House. So I didn't just pick Sherry's favorites or the same kind of thing. I just kind of scanned through and picked one from every different genre. So the first one was country. The next one's easy and listening. Obviously, Michael Jackson's going to be pop. But I wanted to give a little bit of a feel for all of the music. So next up, we're going to hear from Michael Jackson, and not the biggest and best hit he ever had, but something that I like, actually.
Oh, I think it's a fantastic song.
It is a good song.
And it's on the Thriller album, so.
That was a good album.
Every night she walks right in my dreams since I met her from the start. I'm so proud I am the only one who is special in her heart. Girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. I know she's mine. Because the doggone girl is mine. I don't understand the way you think, saying that she's yours, not mine. Sending roses and your silly dreams, really just a waste of time, because she's mine. She tell you I'm the one for her, 'cause she said I blow her mind. The girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. Don't waste your time, because the doggone girl is mine.
She's mine.
She's mine.
No, 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 she's mine.
The girl is mine.
I'm not gonna fight about this, okay?
Paul, I think I told you. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I've heard it all before, Michael. She told me that I'm her forever lover, you know, don't you remember?
Well, after loving me, she said she couldn't love another.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said it. You keep dreaming.
I don't believe.
For free and credible resources to help you navigate the online world safely and responsibly, Mediasmarts.ca has all kinds of quick and easy-to-use tools waiting for you. From learning how to protect your privacy to verifying and fact-checking information and navigating AI, Mediasmarts offers games, quizzes, articles, and guides for all ages. Learn how to spot fake news with the help of the House Depot. Think critically about the media we love and find ways to be informed and active online. Visit Mediasmarts.ca today and learn the skills you need to thrive in the digital world.
All right, we're back. I like that Michael Jackson song and Paul
McCartney.
I
think it's pretty funny to hear him and Paul McCartney. pardon me, I argue about a girl. I got a tickle in my throat.
It is funny. I'm going to talk about one more about Columbia House, and then I think I'll let it go for a little bit.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about some other stuff. It's interesting. So by 1975, as I said, their membership was over 3 million. It takes them until 1988 to get to 6 million, which is a kind of an interesting fact. So the first, you know, when people were really into it at the beginning, it grows. It just goes straight up.
Well, it's the life cycle of business.
Right. And it then takes a while. And I think things changed by that point.
Double, and then flatline.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And there were so many changes and stuff. And there's just so much to talk about with this. It's kind of just all facts and figures. So I don't want to bore people. So what are you up to this weekend?
Well, I'm going to chase you around like we normally do. So what we're up to this weekend, let's see. So Friday night, we will be at Hardway as usual.
Yeah, it's the last week before our tournament starts. So this is the last chance to kind of get in and see what we're doing. Just have a little bit of fun. It's going to be fun starting the tournament. So this week, we're just doing a 60-70s round standard. Then we'll do an 80s round, then a 90s. And then a 2000s round. So it'll be a lot of fun. And it'll be in that order. So if you six and between 7 o'clock and eight, we're going to play 60-70s music and then do a 60-70s round. Again, 8 to 9, we'll do that 80s round, play some 80s music, 90s round at 9 o'clock. And then again, obviously at 2000s at 10. But that's it for this weekend as far as DJing's going. And then we get a busy weekend.
We have a busy weekend as usual. So I had shared with everyone I had a boat issue a couple weeks ago, but we solved it. And now we get to go back on the boat because my buyer purchased the home, but it needs a home inspection. And so we're going back out on Bob's Lake via boat on Saturday morning, bright and early, to go to the inspection. And I assume it's going to go well. I get to go on a boat on Bob's Lake again.
Yeah, but I get to get McDonald's breakfast.
Oh, of course. You always get McDonald's breakfast. It's one of Terry's favorite things.
It's one of my favorite things.
After we do that, though, we are going to go and sadly close up our trailer for the winter.
We are.
So we have a boat and a trailer up at Singleton Lake, and the park is closing October 1st. So we have to go and close up our trailer and bring home all our things and call it a season again. So we're sad about that, but we're going to try and make the best of one last afternoon.
Yeah.
And Sunday we are going to see a play again at the Thousand Islands Playhouse in Gananoque.
Jesus Christ Superstar,
this
right?
This time it is Jesus Christ
Superstar. I'm excited
to
see that. And you met somebody whose son is in it, right?
I did, actually. I was showing a house this week to a lady who was then going to pick up her son, and she mentioned that he is coming into town for a month because he's one of the stars of Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. I made some neat people.
That's pretty neat. And then we've got a concert coming up. We've got the Jordan Davis concert coming up pretty quickly, right? It's coming up.
I think that's next weekend.
Yeah.
October 2nd.
Yeah, I think next weekend. Let's do a little bit of country.
I love a lot of country.
Well, you know what? The Emergency Book Club.
So people from Hardway.
Yeah. So
for context.
So the girls that sit out in the patio and they come every week and they always want to do country. So I think they'll enjoy this next week. We'll do.
Right. Well, you'll have to tell them tomorrow night that they have to tune in next Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Well, hopefully they're tuning in right now because they always do.
We should do the evolution of our country journey. And I know I shared it a little bit before about how I kind of just turned country before we moved to Kingston. But when I went back and started listening to Y2 Country, I realized how many songs really just reminded me either of my childhood or of the growing up years and how much of a country fan I really am. And now I'm a card-carrying country member.
Well, it's funny. When I was doing my research...
And our trips to Nashville.
Yeah, we can talk about that because that's always a lot of fun. When I was doing the research on the Columbia House thing, what I heard or learned was... Darius Rucker, who was Hootie and the Blowfish, he got a lot of promotion from the Columbia House thing, but he didn't make a penny on it. So Columbia House really stiffed Darius Rucker just because we're talking country and Darius Rucker's a great country.
I'll mail him a penny now, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't need my pennies.
He doesn't need your pennies. I can guarantee you he does not need your pennies.
You're right.
So that's kind of a busy week for us, or weekend for us again.
Oddly, that doesn't actually seem crazy busy.
No, it's not. I don't think it is as normal.
No, we normally have a lot more crazy activities, but we always fill in our time and we're not really good with downtime. So it does seem a little light this weekend.
Yeah, and there's a Notre Dame game coming on, so we're going to watch that too.
Great.
At some point. All right, you know what? Let's
play some more music.
I am, but this is a fun one for me. So this is Kim Mitchell, and I haven't played this in a long time. So here we go.
Is that all right? this world keeps us from falling apart. No matter where I go, I hear the beating of our one heart.
Canadian content quota this week.
Yeah, we did. But that's okay. I love Canadian content.
I do as well. We're Canadian content.
I guess we are.
I checkmark us as Canadian content every time we talk.
I'm Irish Canadian content, I think.
You're more Canadian.
Yeah, I guess.
We do debate that sometimes. You had several things that you said while the song was playing that you wanted to talk about. So which one do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about what somebody said to you this week. It's kind of funny.
It's not really funny.
Well, it is kind of funny.
Do you want me to tell the story?
Sure, tell the story because it's funny.
Okay, so I am mentoring a young lady and she is, I don't know, 20 or 21. So a child in my mind at any rate. Yeah. And she's lovely. And so I'm saying this because it made me chuckle, although it made me cry a little bit inside. And we were having coffee and I was chatting and I happened to have a wrist tattoo and she saw my wrist tattoo and was just commenting on it. And then she chuckled and she said, I think it's really cute when old people have tattoos. And all I thought was, oh, sweetheart, if you want me to mentor you, you probably don't want to call me old people again. And then I came home and told Terry, but I also have told lots of stories and this is another time and another place, but I have a podcast, which is specifically for people over the age of 50. And one of the most pivotal moments for a woman in her life is the first time that the young girl at Shoppers Drug Mart asks you if you qualify for the seniors discount.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys get mad about that.
Well, the first time I went in my car and cried. And then the second time I thought, well, this is dumb. I'll take 15% off.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll take 50. I'm not even that. What is it? 55 and over?
I'm not sure.
I'll take it now. I got white hair. I could pass.
You pass. Definitely.
I pass for sure. I've been white haired since I was what?
Since 20, we had a child.
Yeah,
probably.
23.
It's true.
So I did want to talk about this upcoming event that we are, we're going to help promote and we're a part of. And it's being put on by a really good friend of ours, Dennis Bell. And Dennis is turning 60 in November. And he's doing a charity event with in coordination with his birthday.
Right.
And he's doing it a hard way, which is great.
He wants to give back to the community for his birthday.
He's a really good philanthropist. Good word. It's my word of the day. He's got a really great girlfriend, Sonia. And we actually profiled her.
She was featured here.
The first time.
The first person.
First person we ever featured was Sonia.
Yes.
And... she's a great singer. We went and saw her sing last Sunday. And yep. It was fantastic.
So they're putting on this event, which is called the November Bash for the Boys and Girls Club. And it will be November 23rd at Hardway Cider Company. So we have a connection to everyone involved in this event. And it will be specifically to raise proceeds for the Boys and Girls Club. So we invite everyone to participate. Look that up. There's a Facebook event and there's lots of things circulating on our socials and Dennis's and everyone connected to this. But it's a great event. And the Boys and Girls Club of Kingston does amazing work for the kids in our community.
Yeah. And what's cool about this event is so... I'm DJing in between and emceeing the entire event, but it goes from 3 till, I think, 1 a.m., and there's a different band every 45 minutes.
I don't go till 1 a.m., you know that, right?
I know, yeah.
I barely go to 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's. I love, what's the role models where the guy says, we'll rock and roll all night, and he goes, we'll rock and roll.
Part of the night. Exactly.
Yeah,
because we're tired now. Yeah. That's definitely me.
Yeah, yeah. I was out in an event in Toronto last night, and actually it was a really cool event. It was a, I'm not going to tell you the whole event because I actually want to do something like this in town. But anyway, the event was really cool. And around 9:30, I looked at people and went, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting old, you know, when you tap out at 9:30 p.m.
I get up at 4 a.m.
I know.
So I can
Believe
go to the
me,
gym.
I'm with you. I understand.
So, yeah, so I get up early. So, you know, I tapped out 9:30. Everybody was like just going at it. And I was like, yep, see you tomorrow, guys. Because I was on the road before 6 a.m. this morning to get back.
Good for you.
I didn't miss anything. So I'm going to finish with a rap group that I really like. And they're on the Columbia Record label.
Excellent. So we're on theme.
We are on theme. And I love this band and I love this song. I know every word to this song. I'm not going to sing
along.
Please
don't rap on
the
air.
No, I'm not. But I do love it. And guys, hope to see you tomorrow night at Hardway. It's reservations at hardway.com.
Right. And if you come and ask us what, you get the gift card.
Oh, yeah. So we have one gift card left. So you have to tell me who's bigger than the king. So who's bigger than Elvis?
Right. Who's bigger than Elvis?
Who's bigger than the king?
We mentioned it way at the beginning of this episode.
So, yeah. So tell me who's bigger than the king. And here we go.
Oh, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rap and me.
My team.
Been had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer. Riding across the land, kicking up sand. Sheriff's watches on my tail cause I'm in demand. One lonely BCIP. All by myself without no bot key. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air is getting hot, the beer is getting flat. Looking for a girl, I ran into a guy. His name is MCA. I said howdy, he said hi. He told a little story that sounded well rehearsed. 4 days on the run and that he's dying of thirst. The brew was in my hand and he was on my tip. His voice was hoarse, his throat was dry, he asked me for a sip. He said, can I get some? I said, you can't get none. Had a chance to run, I pulled out a shotgun. Quick on the draw, I thought I'd be dead. He put the gun to my head and this is what he said.
Now my name is MCA, I got a license to kill. Yep. I think you know what time it is, it's time to get ill. Yep. Now what do we have here? And I'll in his beer. I run this land, you understand, I made myself clear.
We stepped